2 Kings chapter number 7, we'll read verse number 1 through verse number 9. Before we begin, I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you, God, for this missions revival. Thank you, Lord, for this church and, God, for their vision and to see souls saved. Lord, I just pray that you would just help bless the meeting here. I pray that you would use me, Lord, for your glory. I pray that everything that I say would be of you and from you, and that you would allow, that you would speak through me. God, just please just touch the hearts of your people. I pray that you challenge us, draw us closer to you through your word. I pray that the word would go forth, and God, that you would just allow it to fall upon good ground, and that the seed would bear fruit. Lord, just please, what you do, we'll give you the praise and glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll start reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So we'll stop reading there. The Bible in this passage is based around a story of 4 lepers. And these 4 lepers are talking amongst themselves because there's a famine in the city of Samaria. And they say, if we sit still here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die as well. So they said, we've got to make a choice here. We need to go out to the enemy camp. Perhaps they will spare us alive. And so they make the trek out to the enemy camp, go to where the enemy was. And unbeknownst to them, God had already sent a noise of a host of chariots through the enemy camp. And the enemy had done left everything, left their horses. And that's one of the things I didn't understand. They left their horses. I would have took off on a horse. But it says they left their horses, their tents, their asses, even the camp as it was. And they left their food, their raiment, their silver, their gold. They left it all. And so they left it behind. And those 4 lepers, when they came to the camp, they found enough food there to feed an entire army. And so they go in, they take what they need to supply themselves and to help themselves, to feed themselves. And then they go and hide some, and then they say, well, we've got to go back and we need to tell the king about this. Tell the king's household. Let them know, hey, there's food here in Samaria. And so I want to start in verse number 3, and I want to give you a few things here that the Lord's laid on my heart. But in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And there arose 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die?" I want us to notice point number 1, their despair. Their despair. They were in a situation that was life or death. A life or death circumstance. They realized their condition. They knew that if they would sit there, if they were to survive this famine, something had to be done. They had to get out of this predicament that they were in. They knew that they were in trouble, and so they realized something had to be done. You know in your Bible that leprosy is a symbolism of sin. And the Bible says that we are all sinners falling short of the glory of God. And just like these lepers, we have been saved by the grace of God. If you have called upon the name of Jesus, repented and turned from your sins and accepted His love, mercy, and grace that He bestows upon the entire world of whosoever shall call upon Him, then you understand that there was a day in your life to where you knew that you needed the gospel. You knew that you were spiritually starving, just like these four lepers. You knew that there was a day that you had to come to the point of yourself, to the end of yourself, and give your heart over to Jesus Christ. You were spiritually starving. You knew the gravity of the situation. You knew it was life or death. And if you've never been saved, then I'm here to present the gospel before you and say, hey, Jesus Christ is the answer. You understood the gravity of the situation. You knew that you could not save yourself. You knew that the world had nothing to offer you. And the only way you could get help was to go to the source of spiritual food and water. And that was the same with the lepers. The lepers had to go to the source of food and water to get help. If they were to save their lives, they had to take that step towards the food and water. Jesus Christ in the New Testament, He came to a city of Samaria, to the city of Samaria called Sychar. And there it was that He met a woman at the well. He sat down upon the well. The woman came up to draw water, as she always did about that time of day. And so there He began to talk to her, and He gave her an example of salvation that she could relate to. He told the woman that if she continued to drink from this well, to drink from Jacob's well, she would indeed thirst again. But if she were to drink from the water that He could give her, she would never thirst again. And so He told her, He said, there is a way for you to get help. You've just got to come to the right well. You just got to come to the source of living water. You got to come to Me and take a drink. John chapter number 6 and verse number 35, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. You know what He's saying there? He's saying, I am the bread of life to those who are spiritually starving. I am the drink of water to those who need a spiritual drink. And if you would just come unto Me, you will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. I will spiritually satisfy your needs. And so we all had to come to a point to where we realized, hey, we are in trouble. If we die today without Jesus Christ, we will die in our sins. And we knew that we had to get help to where we had to come to the source of food. We had to come to the source of drink, that living water, that bread of life. We had to come to Jesus Christ. These four lepers, they realized the same thing. They knew that they could not sit there and starved to death. Something had to be done. The devastation in verse number 4. It says, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. They realized, hey, the famine was not just affecting them. It was not just affecting their lives. It was affecting everyone around them. Everyone in this city was affected by this famine. The famine is in the city, and we shall die there. The devastation, it was affecting all those around them. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 32, the Bible says, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 6, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Those verses have something in common. The word all, they're saying there is none righteous, no, not one. They're all in unbelief. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are all in the same boat here. We have all come from the lineage of Adam, and we are all sinners falling short of the glory of God. And there's only one way to get help, and it's to go to Jesus Christ. And the world is in the same boat, and the world is spiritually starving, and the world has got to hear the good news that, hey, there is a bread of life. There is a living water. They need to hear about that source of food that they can come to satisfy their spiritual starvation before they end up starving to death and going to hell. Hey, the world is starving out there, and the world needs to hear the gospel. There is a devastation. The famine is in the city. And may I say, the famine is in the world. The famine is out these doors. The famine is on our neighbors' doorsteps. The famine is in the grocery stores around us. The famine is in the communities that are surrounding us. The famine is in the job places. The famine is in the gas stations down the road. The famine is everywhere, all around us. People are starving and they don't even know it. We've got to give them the news. Hey, you're starving and you need help. The devastation. In verse number 4, we also see their decision. The Bible says, "Now therefore come and let us fall into the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." You know what they said? They said, "We need to take action here. We can't just sit here and let ourselves die. We've got to do something about it." They took a step of faith in the right direction. And you know that if people are going to get help, first of all, they got to hear the Word of God. First of all, they need to know that, hey, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. And we got to go and present the gospel before them. But not only that, but they've got to take that step of faith. They got to take that action to where they can go and get help, to where they can go and get life everlasting. But first of all, they need to know. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to let them know, hey, they need help. Spiritually starving. They took a step of faith in the right direction. They took a step of faith. And you and I, whenever we first got saved, we took a step of faith towards Jesus Christ, toward the cross of Calvary. And we realized, hey, without Him, we are all dead men. We are all dead to ourselves. We are all sinners. The enemy's delusion in verse number 6. And the Bible says, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us, the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us." In verse number 7, "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." The enemy's delusion. They did not realize this, but God was playing a trick on them, and He sent a noise of a host of chariots. And it was not the enemy as they thought, but it was just a noise. And God allowed the enemy to be driven off to where the lepers could find everything that they needed. And do you know that there was a day where Jesus Christ became flesh, and He became human. He came down to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He came down here into the enemy's territory. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, that he rules and reigns across this earth. But here's the thing, Jesus Christ stepped down here as King. He stepped down here as Lord, and He came into enemy territory. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He made a sacrifice and provided life everlasting. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the grave was a day of glorious victory. The enemy, they fled away, just as in this story, as the enemy had to take off because of the noise of a host of chariots. Praise God, when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, the enemy fled away. He could have no power over Jesus. He had no power over the believer anymore. Thank God that Jesus Christ made a way. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Because He was victorious, we now have victory. Because He overcame death, hell, and the grave, We now have victory over death, hell, and the grave, and Satan. Satan has got no power over the believers. Satan has got no power over us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've got the Holy Ghost with us on the inside. We've got someone with us all the time who never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always there by our side. And he's always there to empower and to help us. The leper's discovery in verse number 8. And the Bible says, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. They found their food and water. They found their gold, silver, raiment, and they had enough there to where they can go and hide some for themselves for later on. They had enough to where that could satisfy their needs, their spiritual or their physical needs. And then they had enough to where they could go and hide it and keep for later on. Do you know that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he's got enough to go around for everyone. He's got enough to where everybody can have a part, everybody can have a piece, everybody can have enough to satisfy themselves. I think of the story of the little boy who had five loaves and had two fishes, and he had enough to be able to pass around to everybody, and everybody got a piece, and 5,000 men were fed besides the women and children, and so there's enough to go around for everybody, and they just kept on breaking and passing it around, and they had enough to satisfy their needs. It was enough to go around for everyone. There was spiritually enough for everybody. And here's what I think about us in our lives. If every person was to repent and turn to Jesus Christ today in the world, every person could be saved. There's enough grace, mercy, and love to go around for the entire world. That they were to turn to Jesus Christ today and turn unto Him and confess Him as their Lord and Savior, they could be born again. Jesus Christ has got enough there to where we can take some home with us. Praise God, when the bread of life is broken before you on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there's enough for you to take home throughout the week. We've got enough of Jesus Christ that keeps on giving, and the world needs to hear about the gospel that doesn't ever run out. The world needs to hear about the life, the living water that doesn't ever quit, that doesn't ever dry up. Praise God, when we get saved, we got wells of springing water on the inside, blood bubbling up out of us. And Jesus Christ has got enough there to satisfy and to give us joy that's overflowing. Praise God. The leper's discovery in verse number 8. In verse number 9, we see the day of good tidings. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." It's a day of good tidings. And you know, sometimes it may seem this way, but when we first get saved, there is just that initial wanting to be able to tell everybody, hey, about what Jesus Christ has done for us, about how He saved our soul. And there's that passion, there's that desire, there's that fervency, there's just that spiritual, just longing to be able to go and tell the world, hey, Jesus Christ saved my soul. You need to get what I got because He changed my life. And sometimes, as time drags on, and we go through the services, and we go through the motions, maybe it seems that we may lose that fire, or lose that passion, but God says we need to stir it up, to stir up the remembrance of our salvation, and we need to remember what Christ, pray for my voice here, I'm just having a little bit of trouble, we need to remember what Christ has done for us, and just stir up those good thoughts, and that passion, that desire, that fervency, that fire, and just be able to go and to tell everybody, hey, this is what Jesus Christ did for me. It's what He can do for you. It's a day of good tidings. The gospel is good news to the world. It's a day of good tidings. But here's the thing. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. So many times we may pass that person and just not be able to give them the gospel like we should for whatever reason. Maybe excuses. Maybe the devil. Maybe it's just our flesh just not wanting to give in to submit to God's will and what He desires for us. But all at the same time, here's the thing. The world needs to hear the gospel. And we cannot hold our peace. We can't hold it back. We can't keep it to ourselves. It's too good of a good news to not to give to the entire world. It's too good of a good news not to give to our neighbors, not to give to our family, not to give to those around us and to our communities. We need to give the good news to the world. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. There is a downfall to not giving the gospel. Some lost soul may go to hell. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. One of these days, the morning light is going to rise up on the eastern sky. One of these days, the morning light is going to call His children home. One of these days, we're going to be up in the air, caught up together with those who are alive and remain. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we are forever going to be with the Lord. But here's the downside to that. The rest of the world is going to have to go through tribulation. The rest of the world is going to have to endure suffering. And the rest of the world is going to, if they've heard the good news, they're going to be deceived by the Antichrist. The Bible says He is going to deceive them. And so there is a downfall to not giving the gospel. But then there is the delivery. That we may go and tell, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. The king's household. They need to know the world, those who are around us, those who are back there in Samaria, those who are in the city. They need to know, hey, the good news is just right around the corner. It's not too far away, and it's so simple. Salvation is so simple. It's just like taking a bite of bread, or it's just like taking a drink of water. Salvation is the good news in the world. Samaria, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. There is the delivery. We was in a church not too long ago, and they had a banner right across the back of their doors, and it said, "You are now entering the mission field." And you know, I know that it's obvious that we are focusing on world missions here this week, and it's obvious about some of the missionaries that God has called to the field. I'm so thankful for God calling missionaries. I'm so thankful for these missionaries that are here. I'm thankful for pastors that are willing to pastor here in the States, and for God using us. But here's the thing. All of us who are born again believers are missionaries. All of us are missionaries. And God wants to use you to reach somebody with the gospel. God wants to use you to hand out a gospel tract. God wants to use you to witness to somebody that needs to know about Jesus Christ. God wants to use you personally. And there is a way that God can use you to reach a lost soul. And if you've met Jesus Christ, it's so simple. All you have to do is tell them what He has done for you. Tell them what He did for you. Tell them about how He came into your life, changed you, made you different, made you whole, made you complete, forgave you of all your sins. You've got a home in heaven. You've got something to look forward to. You're eternally secure because you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the world know. Let those around you know, hey, what Jesus did for you. We can't sit still. We can't hold our peace. Some mischief will come upon us. Some mischief will come upon those around us as well. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell. We've got the good news to bear. We got the abilities, the capabilities to do it. God's allowed us the privilege to be able to go and tell the world. He could do it Himself. He could send angels to come and preach the gospel. He could get the gospel into the entire world. But God says, I want to use the church. I want to use the believers. I want to use those around us. And God says, hey, you need to go and tell the world. So let's get busy. Let's not sit still. Let's not be comfortable in our comfort zone. And I have sit still so many times than I care to give count of. But I want to give more of the gospel to the world. And I want to let more people know about Jesus Christ. And so let us fulfill the Great Commission and not just reaching the world, not just reaching those who are in the... we need to do that. That is God's command. But we need to reach everybody. And it starts with us having the burden for lost souls. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.